In the quiet town of Eldenvale, nestled between rolling emerald hills and ancient woods, there was a legend that danced on the lips of children and was whispered by old souls on stormy nights. It spoke of a realm that lay beyond a veil of reality, a world accessible only to those who believed in magic. Not the kind taught in books, but the kind born of imagination and love. Islar Wren, a 24-year-old artist with wild curls and paint-stained fingers, had always felt a strange pull toward things others dismissed. While her peers rushed into the steady rhythm of corporate jobs and busy lives, Islar found joy in the chaotic colors of her canvases and the silent company of stars. Her small attic studio above her grandmother's bookshop was her sanctuary, lit by candlelight, cluttered with old tomes, enchanted objects, and unfinished dreams. One evening, after a particularly vivid dream, Islar woke with a shiver. In the dream, she had wandered through a twilight forest glowing with silver mist. A voice had called her name, not loud, not urgent, but full of longing. She remembered eyes, golden and ancient, and the scent of jasmine on the wind. She opened her eyes to find the dream had left something behind. Resting on her windowsill was a silver feather, unlike any bird she'd ever known. Intricately patterned, iridescent, and warm to the touch, Islar pressed it to her chest and closed her eyes. Something was beginning. Across the veil of worlds, in the realm of Amara, a land of floating isles, talking trees, and memory-woven magic, Prince Thorn stood on the edge of the Moonfall Cliffs, his cloak fluttering like shadowed wings. He had dreamt of her again. The girl with stardust in her eyes and wild laughter in her step. She didn't belong to his world, and yet he felt her echo in every song the wind carried. Thorn had been raised a rule to guard the balance of Amara against the creeping dark that slumbered beneath its roots. But something had changed when he first saw her, Islar, in his dreams. Each night, their worlds brushed closer. Each dream left behind fragments, petals, songs, feathers. She didn't know it yet, but she was the key to the ancient prophecy. The oracle had spoken once, when Thorn was a child. When a feather of imagination crosses a veil and love dares to believe, the world shall touch. And magic, true magic, shall return. Islar couldn't shake the dream or the feather. She sketched obsessively visions of floating lands, golden-eyed strangers, and a forest that seemed both real and imagined. Her grandmother, Eloise, watched her with quiet understanding. "You've seen him, haven't you?" Eloise asked one morning over tea. Islar blinked. "Who?" "The boy from the other world. I saw him once many years ago, when I was about your age. But I let the fear win and turned away." Islar's heart stilled. "You believe in it? The other realm?" Eloise nodded. "Not believe, my darling. I remember. There's a difference." That night, Eloise gave her an old leather-bound book. "It was your mother's," she said softly, "and your grandmother's before her. It opens a door, but only if your heart's ready." Islar opened the book alone in her studio. The pages shimmered as she turned them, filled not with words, but with shifting images and half-formed thoughts, like the book was alive, feeding on her imagination. At midnight, the book pulsed with light. The silver feather in her hand glowed, resonating with the energy. The studio window blew open with a gust, scattering sketches and candles. Islar stood before the book as it whispered her name. Then, the veil parted. She fell through a storm of stars and landed softly on moss that hummed beneath her feet. The forest of her dreams surrounded her, twilight mist curling around glowing trees and the air tingling with magic. And standing before her, real and breathtaking, was him. Thorn, tall, with raven black hair, golden eyes, and an aura that pulsed like moonlight on water. His expression held disbelief, relief, and something unspoken, like he had waited an eternity. "You came," he whispered. "I think I was always meant to," she replied, breathless. Their connection was instant, like the dream had only been a prologue. Thorn took her hand, and in that moment, she felt his world, not just its beauty, but its sorrow too. Imar was a realm of wonder, but something dark stirred beneath its surface, a shadow that had been growing ever since the veil began to weaken. "The realms are linked," Thorn explained as they walked through the glowing forest. "Imar feeds on imagination. Your world once believed, but now, most have forgotten. The veil's growing thin. The magic is fading. But what does that have to do with me? Isla asked. You are a dreamer, he said gently. One of the rare few who still imagine without limits. The feather came to you because you still believe. And now, you can help restore the balance. Isla spent days exploring Amara. She met creatures born of forgotten bedtime stories, talking foxes, winged cats, and rivers that whispered secrets. She saw cities built on music and mountains that move with the sunrise. Thorn guided her, but he never pressured. He watched her with quiet awe, like her presence was both a miracle and a memory. And Isla, despite the strangeness, felt more alive than she ever had. One evening, on the edge of the dream spire, a tower that touched the clouds, they sat watching the sky shift from violet to gold. You feel it too, don't you? She asked him. This connection? Thorn nodded. It's not just magic, Isla. It's love. And I don't know how or why it happened across worlds, but I wouldn't change it for anything. Isla touched his face. Even if it ends? He closed his eyes. Especially then. But darkness had begun to stir. A being once banished, a creature born of fear and cynicism called Nerith, had since Isla's arrival. The dreamer's power was what he needed to tear the veil completely and plunge both realms into lifeless stillness. No dreams. No love. Only silence. Nerith whispered into forgotten corners, poisoning minds and feeding doubt. And now, he was coming for Isla. The battle for belief the days in Amara began to blur, each one more beautiful and perilous than the last. Isla had found a purpose in this enchanted world, but with purpose came danger. Whispers of Nerith, the being of void and unmaking, began to spread like smoke. Fear is his magic, Thorn told her one evening in the Crystal Archives, where memories live as glass sculptures. He feeds on what people no longer dare to believe in. And love? Isla asked. Thorn looked at her. Love is the only thing he cannot touch, which is why he fears you. Isla felt that truth deep within her bones. Nerith wanted to erase imagination, because imagination gave birth to hope, and hope bred love. One morning, the skies above Amara darkened, and thunder rolled without clouds. The forest near the veil's edge twisted into shadows. Creatures fled. Plants withered. The Council of Elders summoned Thorn and Isla. Elder Marwyn, a wise dryad with eyes of bark and voice like rustling leaves, warned, "The veil is nearly torn. If it falls, the shadow will consume both realms." "There is a way," said another. "The flame of memory, hidden deep within the caverns of reverie. It is the last source of raw imagination, untainted by fear. If the dreamer touches it with love, the realms may be healed." Thorn turned to Isla. "You don't have to do this." But she held his hand tightly. "I came here for a reason. I feel it in every step I take. If I can save both worlds, then I will." The journey to the caverns of reverie began at dawn. Isla and Thorn were joined by a small group. Nix, a shapeshifter and Thorn's oldest friend, whose laughter was a weapon against darkness. Kellen, a winged historian who remembered forgotten truths. And Mira, a stargazer who saw paths others missed. They passed through the Mirror Meadow, where illusions tempted them with false dreams. Isla nearly stayed in a vision of her mother alive again, painting beside her in the sun. Thorn pulled her back. "That world isn't real. I'm here. Hold on to me." His words grounded her and the vision shattered. Days passed, marked by trials. In the sea of whispers, the group was separated by storms of memory. Isla faced her childhood fears. Rejection, loneliness, and a nagging voice that said, "You're not enough." But then she heard Thorn's voice, soft, steady, calling her back. "I believe in you," it said. She emerged from the storm stronger. Later, in the Forest of Forgotten Names, Isla met her younger self, a girl full of dreams, unscarred by heartbreak. They sat beneath a star-glowing tree. "Will you forget me?" the girl asked. Isla knelt. "Never. You're where I began. But I've become so much more because of you." The forest bloomed in reply. Each trial bound Isla and Thorn closer. At night, they'd rest beneath glowing vines, talking in whispers. "I wonder," Isla murmured once, her head against his chest. If I hadn't dreamed of you, would you still have found me? I would have searched every world, he replied. Love doesn't wait for reason. It follows a heart. She'd kiss him then, slow and full of stars. The first kiss, real and electric, was more than passion. It was promise. But Nereth was not idle. He appeared to Isla one night in a dream, not as a monster, but as a man, handsome, calm, seductive. Why fight for what will fade? He asked, circling her. Imagination dies. Love burns out. Return to your world. Forget this illusion. It's not an illusion, Isla said. He smirked. Even dreams die. You're wrong. As long as people dream in love, you will never win. Neritha's mask slipped. Then I will take what you love most. Isla awoke with a scream. The next day, the group neared the Caverns of Reverie. But it was a trap. Nereth attacked in full force, his presence turning the air heavy with despair. Shadows poured from the trees like black fire. The group fought valiantly, but they were outmatched. Nix was wounded. Kellen's wings were torn. Mira collapsed under a wave of fear magic. Thorn stood before Isla, sword drawn. Run. No, she cried, grabbing his arm. You have to reach the flame, he said, eyes fierce. If I fall, you're not falling. Not today. But Nereth descended, monstrous now, wreathed in darkness. He struck Thorn with a blast of void, sending him crashing into a tree. Isla screamed, running to him. Blood trickled from his temple, and he gasped her name. No, no, stay with me, she begged. He touched her face. Go. Isla, believe his eyes closed. Something broke in her. Isla stood, tears on her cheeks, heart shattered. But within that heartbreak was fire. I believe in magic, she whispered. In love. In dreams. And I won't let you destroy them. She ran toward the cavern's mouth. Nereth pursued her. But the entrance sealed behind her just as she crossed the threshold. Inside, the air was heavy with glowing mist. Memories floated like orbs. Echoes of love, imagination, hope. At the center was a flame of memory, suspended in air, flickering with every dream that ever was. Isla stepped forward. A voice echoed. What do you offer? My heart, she whispered. My love for Thorn. My belief in this world. And in myself. The flame surged. Outside, Nereth howled. The mountain shook. Isla touched the flame. Light exploded across the realm. When the light faded, the darkness was gone. The veil had been healed. The realms restored. The group awoke slowly, wounds mending, minds clear. Thorn, open his eyes. He found Isla waiting by his side, radiant, tearful. You came back, he whispered. I never left. He sat up slowly and cupped her face. You saved us. We saved each other. They kissed, and this time the world celebrated. The realm we make Amara had changed. Where once shadows slithered in doubt clouded the skies, now wildflowers bloomed along the hills, and the air shimmered with new life. The flame of memory had not only repaired the veil, it had reignited belief across both realms. In Isla's world, artists began to dream again. Children whispered to stars and forgotten magic stirred. But not all was easy. Though Nereth was vanquished, remnants of his shadow lingered. Some places, some hearts, had grown so Yuzafir that light now felt strange. Isla and Thorn, however, stood in that light together. Their love had crossed boundaries of time and space, but now they faced the hardest question of all. What comes next? They returned to the city of Eloria, the capital of Amara, where people lined the golden bridges to welcome them. Bells rang from the Dreamspire towers, and lights danced like fireflies in celebration. Elder Marwyn greeted them with a bowed head. The dreamer has fulfilled the prophecy, she said. The realms are bound once more, but the bond must be sealed with choice. Choice, Isla asked. You must choose, Marwyn said. Remain in Amara, where magic and love await, but never return to your world. Or go home and forget everything. The veil protects those who do not belong. Isla's breath caught. Forget! Marwyn nodded solemnly. Not just the sights and sounds, but the love, the heart, cannot bear what it was never meant to remember. Thorn was silent beside her. They stood on the Moonfall cliffs that night, where they had first truly met. The sea below glowed with dreamlight. The stars felt close enough to touch. I knew this might happen, Thorn said, his voice low. Prophecies always come with sacrifice. You think I'll choose your world, Isla said gently. He looked at her then, with eyes full of love and pain. No, I think I have to let you choose. She reached for his hand. How do you walk away from something like this? From someone like you? I don't want you to, he whispered. They stood in silence. Time slowed, holding its breath. I love you, she said at last. And that will never change. But I don't know how to give up my world, my family, my art. I've dreamed so much of a place like this, but I was born in another. He nodded, tears glistening. Then I'll cherish the dream of you every day. She pressed her forehead to his. And I'll remember, even if the memories fade, my soul will carry your name. They kissed once more, deep, aching, eternal. Then she turned to the veil, glowing now like a doorway of stars, and stepped through. Back in Eldenvale, the sun was rising when Isla woke. She sat in her attic studio, the leather-bound book still open, the silver feather resting beside it. The air was still. No magic. No dreamlight. She remembered nothing clearly, only vague impressions. Golden eyes, laughter like thunder, a place that felt like home. And yet, when she picked up a brush, her hand moved on its own. She painted floating cities, trees with glowing leaves, cliffs overlooking stars. Her eyes filled with tears, though she didn't know why. But her heart ached. 1 year later, the world had changed. People began to dream again. Isla's painting sold across the country. Children wrote stories of magical creatures. Lovers spoke in poetry again. And Isla, she never stopped painting the man with golden eyes. She called him the memory. One stormy evening, as she closed the shop downstairs, the bell above the door rang. She turned and froze. He stood there, rain dripping from dark hair, eyes of molten gold. Thorn, not a dream, not a memory. Real. How? She gasped. He stepped forward, soaked and breathless. The veil didn't close completely. You left love behind. And where love remains, doors could be found. She ran to him, threw her arms around his neck, and he lifted her into a kiss that tasted like rain and eternity. I thought I'd lost you, she cried. You never did, he said. I found a way, not because of prophecy, not because of fate, but because I chose you. She touched his face, disbelief fading into joy. Stay, he smiled. Always. Epilogue. The realm we make Isla and Thorn didn't turn to Amara. Not yet. Instead, they built a life between worlds. They created stories that bridged dreams and reality. Children gathered in their shop to hear tales of magic. Lovers passed their paintings, as if blessing their bonds. Belief bloomed like spring. And every so often, when the stars aligned and the wind smelled faintly of jasmine and silver, they would walk hand in hand through a doorway no one else could see and dance in the light of two realms. Because love, real love, makes its own magic. And imagination? Imagination is the key.